What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, where you'll find out what the Fukushima's going on.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show, hour number two. The phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. We're talking about the international news, and Beijing, once again, is wagging their fingers at the United States for sending naval vessels close to these islands in the South China Sea, where Beijing has built military installations. Now, the U.S. and its allies have recently sent planes and warships to the area for what are called freedom of navigation operations, which is a polite word for we're going to get in your face and see who blinks first. And basically trying to say the signal their right under international law to pass through the waters claimed by China. Now, the USS Chancellorville guided missile destroyer on Monday entered waters off the Paracel Islands, known as Zishu in Chinese People's Liberation Army, Southern Theater spokesman Lee Holman said. Aircraft and warships were scrambled, sending out warnings for the American vessels to leave the area. That was a very reckless thing to do on the eve of Trump's and Xi Jinping's sit-down dinner meeting to try and talk about the trade war. It almost seems like the Pentagon is using military actions to try and sabotage the possibility of Trump accomplishing anything at the G20. One of the major reasons for Ukraine to have sailed through the Kerch Strait and set off that provocation with Russia was to kill the meeting that was supposed to take place between Trump and Putin. I'm getting a very strong feeling. It's not clear who's actually running this country right now. And that's a little unsettling. A little bit of good news. South Korea has sent a train into North Korea for the first time in a decade. And again, they're sending all the signs of reunification. The train pulled six cars carrying dozens of South Korean officials and experts who will undertake an 18-day, 750-mile survey of the railway tracks in the north. The journey required special permission from the United Nations to carry equipment and fuel into the north, despite the sanctions regime. And apparently they got it. So that's a good sign there. Over in Europe, NATO's chief Jens Stoltenberg is out there starting to brag about how in 2020, the United States will begin to deploy in Italy, Germany, Belgium, and Holland nuclear bombs that are precision guided. Right now, those countries are places where the U.S. stockpiles what's called the B-61 gravity bomb, which is basically just as the name says. You drop it out of an airplane under gravity. You've aimed it at the target with a bomb sight, and given that it's a nuclear weapon, if it misses by a few yards, it doesn't really matter. But apparently, the U.S. has been spending your money on what's called the B-61-12, and it is designed primarily as an anti-Russia weapon. It has a penetrating capacity, allowing it to explode underground in order to destroy central command bunkers in the first strike. Now, question, how would the United States feel if Russia deployed nuclear weapons in Mexico or Canada? Now, since Italy and the other countries are allowing the USA to use its bases, they're violating the Non-Proliferation Treaty. This is going to end badly. All right, let's see. Okay, they're talking about how back at the G20, Trump signed a new trade deal with Mexico and Canada. So at least he's getting something done. I know our Canadian listeners are going to be pleased to hear that. Turning to our domestic politics, the saga of former FBI Director James Comey continues. As you know, the House Judiciary Committee have wanted to talk to him alongside the House Oversight Committee. And they've been conducting an investigation into the Justice Department and FBI's actions ahead of the 2016 presidential election. This includes the probe into Secretary of State Hillary Clinton's use of a private email server on which she kept classified information. And the chairman of both committees wrote a letter to Comey on September 21st requesting that he appear voluntarily for a closed-door interview. Comey said, no, I'm not going to do that. So the House Republicans issued a subpoena to compel him to come on in and answer their questions. James Comey has gone to court. He's filing a lawsuit to try and get a judge to squash the subpoena. Well, James, you might as well put a flashing neon light on your forehead saying guilty, 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 because it certainly looks like you've got something to hide. And in any event, I think not only is this an attempt to defy Congress oversight responsibilities, but asking the judiciary to come on in and override the Congress violates the separation of powers doctrine. So this is an act of utter, utter desperation here. All right, we're going to do a shout out to our on-air affiliates who are just now rejoining our network. Now, with this whole email thing starting to circulate around, you've probably seen in the corporate media this attempt to equate Ivanka Trump and Hillary Clinton by saying that Ivanka Trump has used a private email account to conduct some of her government business. Of course, the two are not even close. Ivanka Trump is using a regular commercial email service. When she couldn't get to the classified systems or whatever it is she's supposed to be using. She certainly did not have a server in her own home, and she's not sending classified information. This is an attempt to equate the two. This is a warning shot by Hillary Clinton saying that if the Trump administration continues to push on the email server, they're going to find some way to go after Ivanka Trump and just bring her down. The politics of personal destruction. So Comey is going to court to try and refuse the subpoena here. Meanwhile, interesting little story, article by Piers Morgan over in the Daily Mail, talking about Robert Mueller. Says Mueller has tortured enough minnows and made enough noise, but if he hasn't got the goods to nail Trump the whale by now, he should shut up, shop, and go home. Everybody's getting tired of this thing. If Mueller had anything on Trump, they would have used it going into the midterms. And, of course, everybody's kind of wondering what's going on with Michael Cohen. Does he actually have any evidence to implicate the president in wrongdoing? Well, maybe not. Because the reality is that Mueller can't indict Trump on the Moscow Hotel project within that Cohen deal. Because all Cohen is saying is that Trump may have known about this deal to build a hotel in Moscow. It's not a crime to build a hotel in Moscow, or at least it wasn't back then. What Mueller was after was just some way of saying there was a line of communication between Trump and Moscow, and therefore there had to be collusion, which is faulty logic. They were talking about a hotel. I love this comment by Tom Fitton over at Judicial Watch. Mueller's special counsel operation is a self-licking ice cream cone. I'm not sure what that means, but it's a colorful image. And he goes on to say, no Russia collusion crimes charged of any American. Instead, the only crimes they found are for obstructing, lying to investigators, and a couple of financial crimes. You know, small stuff. Small stuff. And even Tom Fitton is saying, Trump should shut it down. Unfortunately, though, I don't think he will. The more I see Trump flip-flop around, he's obviously under the control of the White House staff, and a lot of them still want him gone. He's too easy to manipulate. He's proving to be a very, very weak leader. Now, here's a little bit of good news, okay? Jerome Corsi, as you know, turned down Mueller's office for offer of a plea bargain. And now he's gone on the offensive. He is going to file a complaint for prosecutorial misconduct against Robert Mueller. And he's assembled a legal team headed by Larry Klayman of Freedom Watch, founder of Judicial Watch. Go get him, Larry. Go get him, Larry. All right. Now, here's another example of why our current FBI is just as crooked as our previous FBI, because apparently the FBI has raided the home of Dennis Nathan Cain, who was the whistleblower who turned in documents on the Clinton Foundation and the Uranium One deal to the Justice Department's Inspector General and Congressional Intelligence Committees. And apparently, according to Michael Sakaris, who's Cain's lawyer, the FBI raided the home to seize what he legally gave Congress about the foundation and Uranium One, and said it was an outrageous disregard of his client's protections under the Intelligence Community Whistleblower Protection Act. Yes, that's exactly what it was. Now, this may have been done to chill or head off the hearing that's scheduled for December 5th to update Congress on the status of the investigation regarding the Clinton Foundation and pay for play. Now, that would be a good reason for somebody to start a war as a distraction. Oh, it's December 5th. Let's bomb Ukraine. Pay no attention to the corruption over there. We've got mushroom clouds to show you here. There's a little article came out of 12160.info. 2018 was the year the mainstream media willingly handed over whatever was left of their credibility and dignity over to an aging porn star and her odious, ethically challenged attorney. Yeah, the corporate media just absolutely is... they have abandoned the basic principles of journalism. They have abandoned their traditional responsibility to serve as a check on government abuse. I rewatched that movie that came out recently, Tom Hanks, directed by Steven Spielberg, The Post. In fact, I still got it on my DVR. And I remember when this was all going down, when the Pentagon Papers were coming on out, and it went all the way up to the Supreme Court. Did Richard Nixon have a right to shut down the media? And the Supreme Court, at least back then, said no, because the media exists to serve the governed, not the governors. And I think that's a wonderful, wonderful quote. It was by one of the Supreme Court justices. And that's what the media is supposed to be. That's what the independent media is trying to be right now today. Corporate media gone completely the other way. And I think the story of Mark Lamont Hill illustrates that perfectly. Now, he's a professor at Temple University. He's a advocate for equality and is known as an articulate voice against racism and bigotry among CNN's regular contributors. But CNN has fired him for expressing his belief that Palestinians fit into a vision where all people deserve equal rights. And apparently for CNN, that's too much. No, 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 no. Palestinians don't deserve equal rights. You know, the Muslims do, and the Hispanics do, and the blacks do, and even the French do, and the Irish. But no, no, Palestinians, they're Untermenschen. They don't deserve rights. And he got fired. Now, he was only a part-time contributor. It's an embarrassment here. But again, it shows America's corporate media has sold its soul. It's filled with intelligence assets, prostitutes, correspondents. The days of people like Edward R. Murrow appear to be gone. Okay, let's get into the economic news now. There is an article over at the Economic Collapse blog written by Michael Snyder pointing out that just before the crisis in 2008, three things went bad: real estate, oil, and the employment numbers. And he's pointing out it all seems to be happening all over again. Economic activity is starting to slow down significantly. But just like was the case in 2008, those that are running things don't want to admit the reality of what's going on with the economy. Back in 2008, Federal Chair Ben Bernanke insisted the U.S. economy was not heading into a recession. We later learned the recession had already started when he made that statement. Now, of course, during the month of December, corporate media is going to be telling you the economy is great. You know, everybody's running to the stores. Go buy things. It's the holiday shopping season. One of the signs of the decline of the American empire, of course, is our crumbling infrastructure. And over in New Jersey, there is this railroad bridge. It's called the Portal Bridge. It's 108 years old. It's owned by Amtrak, and it carries passenger trains over the Hackensack River. And it's in a seriously deteriorated condition. So apparently, some people in New Jersey have started a GoFundMe page to basically get the bridge rebuilt. And their fundraising goal is $920 million, which I wish them luck. I don't think they're going to get it. But you know, if we weren't spending $5 trillion showering the rest of the world with white-hot flaming death, we could fix these bridges. And that would bring jobs back to this country, because people have to go up on those bridges and put them together. They have to build the components. You want to bring back the jobs? Bring back the money and start investing back in our infrastructure. Now, this article, I think, comes out of the category of signs of the times. Apparently, the latest craze in the stores are installment plans to pay for T-shirts and jeans. And apparently, they're attractive because the interest rates are lower than just slapping down the plastic credit card. And apparently, there are some companies that are starting up to basically see if they can get people to use this thing. There's one down in Australia called Afterpay, and they're offering installment plans right here in the United States, joining Affirm, which is a San Francisco startup launched by PayPal co-founder Max Levchin. An installment plan for a T-shirt. Boy, oh boy. That tells you things are bad. All righty. Now, ahead of his meeting with Xi Jinping, Donald Trump is touting the billions of dollars pouring into U.S. coffers from the China tariffs. And he's saying there's a long way to go. Apparently, it was one of his Twitter posts here. And he's saying if companies don't want to pay tariffs, build in the USA. Otherwise, let's just make our country richer than ever before. There are two problems with that. The first is this money isn't pouring into the U.S. as a whole. It's coming into the U.S. government, which I'm sure is grateful for the added cash flow. The problem with the tariffs, and when Trump first came up with this, I made this observation. The United States has lost much of its manufacturing, much of its high tech. There are companies in China that can make things we no longer know how to make in this country. That's the problem. I know Donald Trump played a businessman on his TV show, but I'm starting to think he wasn't really a good one. Everyone's out there saying he knows more about money and business and everything because he built all these hotels and casinos, one of which I know he bankrupted. And I know that he's been bailed out many times throughout his career. It's easy to look rich when you've got other rich people propping you up. But he didn't think this one all the way through. And I agree with Goldman. I don't think anything good is going to come of that meeting between Trump and Xi Jinping. All right, we're going to take a brief commercial. We will be right back.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you a few from Amazon.com. By Mel. Great product. My husband and father-in-law use it regularly. Both my husband and father-in-law have had significant change in their blood pressure and overall health. By Amazon customer. It works for me. Returned to buy the tincture and the capsules as they were on sale during February. Unlike some other products, this one worked for blood pressure and occasional irregular heartbeat. Extendivite produced noticeable results after just two bottles, a four-month supply. I take Extendivite three times a day, every day. I think this supplement has helped with my increased fitness regime and to lower my blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Attention RBN listeners. Dr. Ignatius Piazza, founder of Frontsight Firearms Training, and Fate have come together to allow RBN to run another fundraiser till the end of the year. We didn't really expect this opportunity, but thankfully, it's here and running as you hear this. We've set a goal of 500 donations by the end of the year, which averages around 6 per day, 7 days a week. When you realize all the folks listening to RBN all hours of the day and night, we think our goal is realistic and extremely critical to keep RBN on the air. If everybody listening will seriously assess their ability with firearms and then take advantage of this opportunity, we feel our goal is very conservative. Please take the time to look over FrontSight's website to get an idea of an amazing facility and the world-class training that's going on there. If this interests you, you likely will have like-minded friends that would like to know. Tell them. If for some reason some listeners are not personally interested, consider sons and daughters, close friends, nieces or nephews, top valued employees, inform club members, share the opportunity with police and fire departments. It's not too early to plan Christmas presents for special people. This fundraiser has come at an extremely critical time for RBN because the dire need for equipment upgrades. We're running on the spare tire currently with no money to fix a flat, and the fuel gauge is bouncing on E. This is one of the most valuable ways you can help RBN financially because you get Commander lifetime membership value that is 50 times your donation and can be passed on forever. How many times during life do you get to leave a legacy? See more details and contact info on our webpage, republicbroadcasting.org, and thank you.
When all this twisted steel was swept away, did these remaining what's really happened? What really happened?
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. We have some callers on the line, and we're going to start with Layla in Ontario. Aloha, Layla. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yes, Mike. It's the Migrant Compact. I don't know if you've discussed it recently. I haven't heard you discuss it, but it's the they're calling it a compact, and it's going to be signed by a number of nations. It in Marrakesh on December 11th and 12th. Now, some countries have already refused to sign it, but unfortunately, Canada's Trudeau is going to be eager to put the Canadian stamp of approval on it. So, you know the phrase, creating facts on the ground. You know who created that phrase? Israel, the Zionists, when they were planning to take over Palestine. They started moving in illegal migrants, and they eventually created enough facts on the ground that they were able to take over. And that's what they're doing in the West Bank, and they're already talking as though the West Bank belongs to them anyway. And now they're doing that on the southern border. My guess is they're the ones behind the migrants that are coming up, because it's taken millions of dollars to supply for the supply chain all the way up in order to bring them here. Now, if this compact, which, by the way, people are saying, oh, it's just a compact, it's a non-binding agreement. Well, in Black's Law Dictionary, the terms contract and compact are synonymous. And yes. Once this compact, which claims to be non-binding, is signed by Canada, that means that Trudeau is going to lower any concept of borders. It's not Trudeau; it's those who are in control of the country right now. So, what's going to happen to the U.S.? Ultimately, there's going to be a rush of migrants to Canada, and they are then going to be squeezing the U.S. from the north and the south. That sandwich that is really going to be creating facts on the ground, both north and south. So I think it might be a good idea to look at the compact. And one of the stipulations, ironically, it has a number of stipulations, and stipulations are also legally binding agreements. So this, the use of the word compact is just a euphemism, putting, you know, lipstick on a pig or false fragrances on garbage. It's a lethal agreement. And it would be a good idea for people to take a look at it and take it very seriously. One of the other things it includes is a paragraph whereby the media is supposed to be educated and trained not to allow intolerance of the migrants when they come here. Now, I, as a Canadian, have a number of questions with regard to what this compact or contract does to pre-existing obligations. The things that they are going to be giving to these migrants are basically finite resources. So what happens to the obligations that the government has to the citizens of the country who built those resources? Essentially, it's an investment that yes. this generation of Canadians and previous generations made, an investment assuming that they and their inheritors, their beneficiaries, will be able to receive the dividends. Now, does the government have the right to give away those finite resources, which are already inadequate to meet the existing needs, when they sign this compact and tear down essentially whatever borders, whatever restrictions exist? What happens to the Canadians who are going to be denied their rightful, their vested interests, their vested rights in the existing infrastructure? The whole thing is so bizarre. I don't understand why the legal profession in Canada is not standing up. I don't even understand why the legal profession in the U.S. is not standing up and saying this compact may claim it is non-binding, but ultimately it will yes. be de facto a contract. Because essentially it threatens the U.S.
It threatens the sovereignty of every country that signs it. This is a yes. grab by the United Nations to assert authority over the independent member nations of the United Nations. They're basically, the UN is trying to do to the UN member nations what Brussels did to the EU and the yes. federal government did to the sovereign separate states of the United States. Whittle away at their autonomy and their sovereignty and consolidate control and power.
Well, it's already happened. I mean, it's happening, but it may be too late. I don't know. But it's going to take a massive response, and it must be done very quickly. Now, hopefully,
okay.
It can
well,
be
Layla,
done.
I have to let you go. We got to take a break for commercials. We have other callers waiting on the line, and we will be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
We the people, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. And let's see, we've got callers here. The next caller is, before I take calls here, I want to do a comment. I always came back into the office. I'm looking at the feed from Fox News. And the lower third headline, the Democrats gear up for 2020. We're not even out of 2018. They spend all their time campaigning and fighting amongst themselves. No wonder nothing gets done. All right. Don in Iowa, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hello, Mike. Yes, this deal of James Comey fighting the subpoena, and he's trying to tie it up in the courts. He says he wants to testify in public. That's exactly what Roger Stone told him. He wanted to fight. He tried to fight like crazy to testify in public. I think Roger Stone had a good reason. And that reason is because people don't get to see what he has to say very much, you know, because they won't have him on CNN. He won't tell. He kind of had a reason for it, but they would not let Roger Stone testify in public. Now, the reason, the real reason that Comey, one thing, he's fighting it just to delay the whole thing, let the clock run out until the Republicans get in office. But besides that, also, he knows that
you
if he's in public, he can. I mean, yeah, the Democrats get in office. If he testifies in public, he can always say, well, that's security. There's a lot more things they can't even talk about. So that's what he really wants to do, is the reason he wants to be in public is because he can't say anything because everything is classified. So basically they're going to be talking about a lot of insignificant stuff, probably. But if in a public hearing, because he can always just say, oh, I'm sorry, it's going to reveal sources and this and that. So that's the thing
with
Comey.
I don't care what Comey says. I agree with the theory he's going to try and run the clock out, except we're dealing here with some Senate committees, and the Senate is still going to be under the control of the Republicans. But basically, we all know that James Comey, as head of the FBI, turned a blind eye to Title 18 felony violations committed by then Secretary of State Hillary Clinton using that private email server. Everybody seems to want to protect that. And I've already shared with you why I think that may be. And of course, the other part is the Clinton Foundation scandals, the Uranium One deal. And it's amazing that the same corporate media that is still out there trying to find some way to say Trump colluded with Russia, they're absolutely silent.
The thing that kind of bothers me about the Republicans, to me, they're not really trying to do anything because they could have sent subpoenas to these people a long, long time ago. They know that the clock's running out. So what they're kind of apparently... And politicians always do this, especially the Republicans. They don't want to do anything. They want to appear to be trying to do something. That's all they want to do. And the swamp will go on. They'll get their paycheck, and they're not going to get killed or so forth and so on. I'll let you go, Mike. Thanks.
All right. Thanks an awful lot there, Dom. We're going to switch over to Dustin in New Jersey. Aloha, Dustin. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Mike, with all these UFOs flying around, you would think they would shut their turn signals and their headlights off. You know?
Yeah.
They always have their lights on that says, eat at Joe's, eat at Joe's, eat at Joe's. I mean, if they're going to come here, they would be coming from, they would be looking at us from afar. You know? I mean, that's why I always laugh. There's a UFO up there. I mean, yeah, with their headlights on. I mean, it's just ludicrous, man. Like,
yes.
I don't know. I want to get on the real topics. Yeah, Mike, did you see, you were saying, like, when Macron landed, you know, he had, but all those, the guys all had yellow vests on. Like, you know, like
I
the yellow vests.
That. I didn't see the actual video. I was just reading a report.
Yeah, they all had yellow vests on, so I thought that was pretty funny because of the people protesting all got yellow vests on over in France. You know?
Yes.
So that's weird, though. Nobody was there to meet him. Like, that's bizarre. You know, as a world leader, landing in Argentina. But, Mike, what do you make of Trump, though? I know you talked about this the other day, like, about Trump. Well, he's not meeting with Putin, but can that be, like, a signal, though? Also, like, Trump doesn't really care. He knows, like, Ukraine was like behind this. You know what I mean? Like, he doesn't care. He didn't need to talk to Putin because it's just, oh, well. You know what I mean? Like, can that be also that? You don't have to meet him to say that. You know what I mean? If it was important, he would have met him, right? Even though he's getting a lot of pushback to meet Putin. You know what I mean? Is that possible?
Well, I think basically Trump's advisors said, you know, we can't meet with Putin now. Trump has really worried a lot of people in the deep state because during his time in office and even before, he showed a sincere interest in actually wanting to be friends with Putin, even campaigned on that. He said, let's get off of all of this aggression here. Let's go back to doing business with each other. And, of course, that made him a threat to much of the deep state, like the military-industrial complex. I really do think that Trump's advisors were just trying to find any way they could prevent the meeting from happening. And as a result, Putin and Saudi and Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman are all buddy-buddy now. And so there was probably a short-term gain, prevent the Putin-Trump meeting, and there's going to be a long-term cost.
Yeah, did you see the high five? Did you see the Turkish foreign minister looking from afar at that?
Yep.
And Mike, you know, like with basically, you were talking about how, like, you know, the Mark says, you know, the British are not going to do anything against Russia and stuff. Because I mean, the British are like really trying to stay relevant because they're not anymore. That's why they always got that coalition, like with the French or the U.S. The British are not going to do anything without the U.S. You know what I mean? Like, they need that sidekick appearance there to be, you know, they're just not relevant anymore. I'm not ripping on the British people. It's just, you know, they're not what they used to be. And neither is the French.
No, they aren't. I think the last vestige of the British Empire was the Falkland Islands War, and they didn't really do too well out of that high cost, low gain. If there is a war coming with Russia, it's not going to be just two different countries. It'll be allies, like World War I and World War II. There's going to be the United States and Great Britain. The NATO countries are going to be basically sitting in the North Atlantic saying, this is ours. You're seeing Russia starting to move closer to China and Iran and now Saudi Arabia. That might actually turn out to be the other side.
Hey, Mike, did you know if Argentina had, like, 25 or 30 Exocet missiles, not five, they would have sunk all the British ships?
Yes.
You didn't realize that?
Yeah, that was a real wake-up call for just how effective those Exocets were.
Yep, and the Russian ones are faster than that, so, you know, that's why that should scare the hell out of you what we're doing, poking the bear. All right, thanks, Mike. Have a good rest of the show.
All right, thanks an awful lot, Dustin. We're going to switch over to Art off the grid. Aloha, Art. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yeah, Mike. I had not heard about this global compact on migration until the lady just a couple callers ago, and I went immediately. Anybody knows me knows first thing I do is I jump on and I start doing the research. Well, yeah, some people may say that this is a non-binding agreement. But if you go to refugeesmigrants.un.org and you look at this thing, the very first thing you see is the Global Compact for Migration is the first intergovernmentally negotiated agreement prepared under the auspices of the United Nations to cover all dimensions of international migration in a holistic and comprehensive manner. Now, you take that one paragraph right there, that's the first thing you see, and you go directly to the PDF, which I am looking at right now. And you look here, and they say, okay, non-binding agreement. But in the preamble, the second part of the preamble, says that this particular compact rests on, and it lists a host of treaties, among which just a few. The Universal Declaration of Human Rights, the United Nations Convention Against Transnational Organized Crime, including the Protocol to Prevent, Suppress, and Punish Trafficking in Persons, especially women and children, and the Protocols Against the Smuggling of Migrants by Land, Sea, and Air, the Slavery Convention and the Supplementary Convention of the Abolition of Slavery, the Paris Agreement, United Nations Convention to Combat Desertification, the United Nations Framework Convention on Climate Change. Now, that dates back to 1960. Now, that's just a sum of the treaties that this particular non-binding agreement draws its power. So they can say non-binding all they want to, but when you have a non-binding agreement, which is rested solely on a list of, I'm looking at least a dozen and a half or more different treaties, well, it becomes pretty obvious that this thing is valid. It is just as legitimate as any contract. And when you take that being the second part of the preamble and you look at number five of the preamble where it states, as a contribution to the preparatory process for this global compact, we recognize the inputs shared by member states and relevant stakeholders during the consultation and stock-taking phases, as well as the report to the Secretary General on making migration work for all. Now, Mike, what does that tell you?
Well, basically, it's like Leila pointed on out. They're trying to basically get nations to sign this and surrender their sovereignty and authority over their own borders. And that's exactly what this compact is all about, because the major issue that it says is that people who are migrants have an automatic right to step across any border that they want, and the country they're stepping into must take them in. And yeah. This is perfectly in line with the globalists' one world government agenda. And the United Nations, in the past, has used this claim of a non-binding agreement to basically get nations to sign on. And then all of a sudden you find out deep inside there are some real teeth. And I can think of no better example than the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change and some of the accords they were putting on out there, where it was all supposed to be symbolic and, you know, just expressing the concern. But this is definitely an attack by the United Nations on the sovereign nations of the world, basically taking over control of their borders.
Oh, yeah, it is. And I'm sitting there listening to you, talking to you, and I'm scrolling through this thing. And, folks, it doesn't take much to go over these things. If you just pay attention to what you're doing and you're scrolling, you learn real quick how to do this. And under the section, and here's where it really gets interesting, a section called Our Vision and Guiding Principles. If you scroll down far enough, it makes statements that, like, we agree that this global compact is based on a set of cross-cutting and interdependent guiding principles. And when you scroll down through this, you see gender responsive, people-centered. I mean, this is just absolute turning everything on its head. I mean, this is Orwellian if it ever was, Mike. I don't know how much more obvious this can be for people.
Well, you know something? I'm going to reverse myself on something I said earlier. I do think space aliens have come to the Earth, and as a practical joke, they're dumping LSD into all of our drinking water because the entire human race seems to be going crazy.
I'm telling you what, man. Hey, anyway, thanks a lot, and boy, howdy.
Okay, well, thank you very much for the phone call. We're going to let you go here, and the phone lines are open again. Getting on back to the economic news here, the Frankfurt headquarters of Deutsche Bank have been raided by prosecutors in a money laundering investigation. Now, we're not talking some little tiny hole-in-the-wall bank in the Cayman Islands that was set up specifically to do skullduggery. We're talking Deutsche Bank, one of the world's largest banks. And this is not the first time that they have been accused of financial skullduggery. But apparently, police cars were seen outside the tower blocks that house the headquarters of Germany's biggest bank. And it's not just in Germany. They are global. And apparently five other Deutsche offices in the city were searched for in an operation involving about 170 police and officials. And prosecutors are basically looking into whether Deutsche Bank staff helped clients set up offshore accounts to transfer money from criminal activities, which is, of course, what money laundering is. So Jesse James was right. The real outlaws are the bankers here. Now, as you know, over in Lordstown, Ohio, yesterday, General Motors closed their factory and put 15,000 people out of work. And it's among the five GM plants across North America expected to close next year. And apparently the 15,000 jobs are across all five of those plants. But apparently the employees, the GM workers, held a meeting, vigil, prayer meeting outside, hugging each other about what a devastating disaster this is to happen to them, especially just weeks before Christmas. I remember when Aloha Airlines went out of business. We made a video about it. It's over on our YouTube channel. Now, Donald Trump, of course, is dealing with a little bit of a political firestorm over General Motors, because General Motors got these huge tax breaks, they got these subsidies, and they were supposed to bring the jobs back, and it didn't happen. So Trump is now out there saying that he plans to end subsidies for electric vehicles. And then he finishes off by saying, I'm here to protect America's workers. Don't think did a very, very good job here. So you're looking at the price of steel going up because of the tariffs, price of a lot of raw materials here, and marketing strategy for smaller vehicles didn't work out. A lot of mistakes were made there. But it really comes down to the fact people do not have the money. We were very lucky to get our car when we did after our Honda was stolen. We'll be right back.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $400? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. You will hear this offer only on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell 5.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. September 2018. Extendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I've been using Extendivite for many years now. May 2018. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. March 2018. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. February 2018. My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
35 million people in the United States suffer with debilitating migraines. If you or a loved one are one of them, you need to know about MigRelief. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist that formulated and patented the MigRelief migraine formula. MigRelief is a non-prescription dietary supplement recommended by neurologists, pharmacists, and pediatricians to address nutritional deficiencies in both adults and children over 2 with migraines. Try MigRelief for 3 months and see the powerful difference it can make in your life or get your money back, no questions asked. Go to MIG911.com or call 800-MIG-7354. You can change your life today.
So if you suffer from migraines, don't wait. Call 800-MIG-7354. That's 800-MIG-7354. Or visit MIG911.com.
Welcome to What Really Happened Radio. Visit us online at whatreallyhappened.com. And now, set your eyes on the future, and let's consider what really happened.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here, and we're talking about the economic news. And right now, Bayer, which acquired Monsanto, which then got into legal troubles, they're now dealing with some financial pressure themselves, and Bayer is getting ready to fire 12,000 of their people. Roughly 10% of their entire workforce to cut costs and basically regain investor favor, which has declined because of all these legal setbacks over the purchase of Monsanto, including that monstrous decision against glyphosate in California here. So Werner Baumann, the Bayer chief executive, said, with these measures, we are positioning Bayer optimally for the future as a life sciences company. Boy, that's a stretch. Over in the European Union, they are seriously getting ready to criminalize all speech that criticizes migration. Talk about a dictatorship. The criticism of migration is going to be a criminal offense, and media outlets that give room for criticism of migration can be shut down. So, the European Union is a dictatorship. You will not talk about certain things. In fact, you know, boy, Brussels is starting to act more and more like Berlin under Hitler. If you really think about it, the European Union is accomplishing exactly what Nazi Germany wanted to do, take over control of all of the nations of Europe, including Great Britain. So down on our southern borders, Mexicali and San Diego, apparently the caravan leaders are going to try a new strategy to build sympathy, to make us all want to just go down and hug these migrants. And they're basically urging the women volunteers to go on a hunger strike. You know, how could you let these women starve to death there on the border when just opening a gate and giving them your money, they could be well fed? And again, one of the reasons we have such a problem in this issue is the lack of enforcement. There are already laws under Title VIII that says you're not allowed to come into this country without going through the legal immigration process, and you're not allowed to help illegal immigrants in this country find work, get a home, even just give them a drive. Those are all offenses. If those laws were being enforced, we wouldn't need a wall. If we would cut off that financial incentive, if we could get the liberals to stop taking stuff away from legal American citizens and giving it to the illegals, the problem would stop immediately. So getting on back to that enforcement issue, apparently none of the migrants who are arrested in the recent border clash are going to be prosecuted. There were 42 arrests. Two of them were referred to the Justice Department for prosecution, but charges were not filed because the accused had medical conditions. Oh, let's feel bad for the migrants. We'll be right back after these few words.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations. A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands. And a week into using Extendivite, my numb hand seemed to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.